Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $125 to Issues, Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make your $125 check payable to Issues, Etc. Write scholarship in the memo line and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234.
I wish my mom was a sex guru.
So, why don't you start by telling me your earliest memory of your scrotum?
Trust me, you don't.
You know I love you so bad.
This is a new frontier, my sexually repressed friend. Our chance to finally move up the social food chain.
I love you so bad.
I'm worried about you, man. Everybody's either thinking about shagging, about to shag, or actually shagging.
Students at the school need your help and we need their money. I'll deal with the business end of things and you can do the therapy.
Therapy?
Yeah, sex therapy. Like your mum.
Wow, sex therapist. This could be awesome. We could be popular.
That's a clip from Netflix's comedy drama series Sex Education. Netflix is the go-to entertainment venue for a lot of Americans. It doesn't have commercials. Yet, that's one of the appeals. It's subscription. It's on demand, and you can watch as much of it at one time as you can fit into your schedule. It has revolutionized a lot of things, including network advertising and the network's view of the future of entertainment on the screen. But does Netflix have an anti-Christian bias in the programming it produces? Greetings and welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon, the 14th of May. Emily Jasinski joins us to answer that question about an anti-Christian bias with Netflix corporately in terms of what it produces. Is it any better than the cable networks? Then Pastor Ted Geese joins us. Part two of our review of the movie Avengers Endgame. We'll be taking your questions and your comments, and I will warn our listeners, there will be spoilers for that very popular movie. Feel free to join us with questions or comments. You can email us, talkback@issuesetc.org, send us a tweet at issuesetc, or go to our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, where you can leave your questions or comments for Pastor Geese, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us to answer the question, does Netflix have an anti-Christian bias? Emily Jasinski, culture editor for The Federalist. Emily, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
Probably everyone's heard the name Netflix, but for those who haven't used this service, what is it and why has it become the go-to source of entertainment and media for so many Americans?
Absolutely. That's a great question. So Netflix is a subscription-based streaming platform. And what that means is basically you can log on to their website, netflix.com. You can download their app on your phone or on your tablet. And you have access to this massive library. And when I say massive, I mean, you really cannot emphasize enough just how massive Netflix's library is of television shows and movies. It started, of course, a lot of people probably remember as a DVD rental service. They would send you DVDs in the mail in these little red envelopes, and you could just pop them right back in your mailbox when you were done. You know, that was how they first, I would say, proliferated, but from there, as they started to acquire the rights to shows like Friends and The Office, classics, and all of these movies, now they even make their own movies, their own new movies that go on, for instance, to be nominated for Academy Awards. So they've grown into a juggernaut, really, and they are the model for success in the streaming age. And that's largely because of how massive their library is of television and movies that they have acquired the rights to. So basically, it's just a way for you to go in at any time and watch new shows, new movies, old movies, anything you could want is really on Netflix. Of course, they have a competitor in Hulu and in Amazon primarily, but right now Netflix really is the one with the rights to some of the biggest shows.
And we're going to be talking mostly about the content that Netflix itself has started producing. With House of Cards, they started producing these long-form serials, and then, as you say, they branched out in the movies. They have their own programming. They are a network now, aren't they?
Yeah, they're functioning almost exactly like the television networks are, and they have a lot of competition right now with the television networks. The television networks are very nervous about Netflix because they envision a future where people are mostly consuming television through the streaming platforms rather than through live cable or, you know, live NBC, CBS, ABC, whatever it is. And so, you know, NBC, for instance, is trying to develop its own app that would function kind of like Netflix. So they're worried right now with Netflix having the rights to a show that they own, like The Office, about what that means for their future. So the question is, do you buy it back from Netflix? Bottom line is, these networks recognize that Netflix is probably the future of how we consume television. And because it is functioning, like you said, exactly as they always have in producing its own shows and getting them to consumers in the most efficient way.
So is Netflix better or worse than traditional cable offerings when it comes to Christian programming?
It's a good question, because Netflix doesn't actually have to abide by the rules that cable television does, for instance. I had an experience just the other day where I was watching one of Netflix's original television shows, and I heard someone drop an F-bomb, and it was jarring because the show feels just like a regular sitcom that you might see on NBC, for instance, but they can curse like that. So the best way to answer that question is to say that Netflix largely mirrors, when it comes to Christian programming, the attitudes and predispositions and biases of cable's programming, and that's partially because the bulk of its library is that programming. So what has been on cable for the past several decades is really what makes up most of Netflix offerings. And what we know from studies that Nielsen has conducted, for instance, is that what most people are watching on Netflix is not Netflix's original programming, but it is those already existing titles. That being said, Netflix does and has created some of its own shows, particularly ones that are marketed to kids and teenagers, that have, frankly, you know, very I don't even know if I want to say anti-Christian, but just the same sort of culturally liberal leanings that we've come to expect from the cable universe, and that parents should absolutely be aware of and concerned by. There are ways to implement parental controls on Netflix, but the programming that Netflix is creating on its own is absolutely no better than what you would see on cable.
Can you give us some examples of how Netflix is contributing to this broader anti-Christian bias in our culture?
Yeah, absolutely. I would point especially to a show that came out this year. It's called Sex Education. It's, like I said, it's one of Netflix's newer shows. It is targeted towards teens. And probably from the title, you can tell right away that when Hollywood is creating a show targeted at teens called Sex Education, a lot of us probably know what to expect from that. And you would be right. I mean, the instincts would be correct. There's a lot of harmful messaging, I would say, as it relates to sexuality. And that's in terms of whether it's same-sex coupling or whether it's sexual activity at a young age. So that sort of thing in a show, I think, of particular concern that is marketed to teenagers. There's a lot of other shows, frankly, because, like I said, it does mirror what we're seeing on what we have seen on cable. But for instance, there's a movie that got really popular on Netflix called To All the Boys I've Loved Before. It's also, you know, targeted towards teens, and, you know, it has things like gay characters and you know, sex talk, whatever it would be. There's a popular show that went pretty viral online called 13 Reasons Why. And, you know, it's a show about suicide. And a lot of parents were very concerned about teen suicide, I should clarify. A lot of parents were very concerned when that came out. In addition to the program that's just marketed to teens, Netflix original programming, you know, rebooted the show Queer Eye, which people can have. Well, it's a popular show. But again, it's something that Netflix is producing on its own.
Talk about your concerns that Netflix is not just popular with young people, it is in many ways, I'll take my grown kids, they don't have cable. They have Netflix. That is their portal for their televised entertainment. Talk about your concerns there.
Yeah, absolutely. So obviously there's just a lot less control. And again, you know, if your kids are at home, you can implement parental controls. And maybe it's a good thing even because if parents control Netflix accounts, or you have a family Netflix account, for instance, the account holder can set limits on that. And so even if your kids are in college or are watching their Netflix, you know, logging into their accounts at other people's houses, you know, the friends' houses during sleepovers, whatever it is, you can still control them. And so maybe that's better to, you know, to a degree than the days when you'd go over to a friend's house and whenever the parents let them rent from Blockbuster is what was getting watched that night. So maybe it's positive in that regard. But if those controls aren't on, I mean, it's not like you have to buy access to certain things on Netflix. They're all really just there. And, you know, the same goes for Hulu and the other streaming platforms. So it's depending on how you're using the platform, how old your kids are, however they're using it, there's some content on Netflix that children are not at all shielded from. It's accessible with really the click of a button, and it's instant. So it's really right at their fingertips now.
Emily Dushinsky is our guest culture editor for The Federalist. We're answering the question, does Netflix have an anti-Christian bias? When we come back, is there a company-wide cultural agenda at work here like we perceive at Google or Facebook or Twitter? Stay tuned.
Planned Parenthood is the largest abortion provider in the United States, performing more than 300,000 abortions every year, more than a third of all abortions performed in the country.
National Right to Life President Carol Tobias talking about her presentation at the one and only 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Planned Parenthood operates as a nonprofit, yet in its most recent annual report, the organization showed revenue of $1.6 billion, about a third of those funds coming from U.S. taxpayers. The organization talks about the healthcare services they provide, but always, always at the top of its list is so-called reproductive health care, the killing of unborn children.
You can meet and hear Carol Tobias making the case against Planned Parenthood at the 2019 Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
An average of 20 military veterans kill themselves every day. Project Operation Barnabas is a network of LCMS congregations who reach out to veterans and their congregations and their communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces. Serving those who serve. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. lcms.org/armedforces.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're discussing Netflix. Does it have an anti-Christian bias with Emily Dushinsky, cultural editor of The Federalist. Equipping the priesthood of all believers, is exactly what happens at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Our 2019 conference is Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th in Chicago. You can meet and hear teachings from some of your favorite guests on topics like Christians in the Public Square, Progressivism, the Lord's Supper, Joyfully Lutheran, Planned Parenthood, the Hippocratic Oath, Christian Hope, and Lutheran Education. Attendance is limited to 500. Thanks to Lutheran Church Extension Fund, child care is free for children ages 1 through 12. Learn more about the premier conference for Christian laity at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. The one and only 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Emily, I guess what some people might be wondering here is there a company-wide cultural agenda? People have detected this with other giants like Google and Facebook and Twitter. Their corporate mentality pushes this agenda. Do you think the same is true at Netflix?
My job is to be a critic of these things, and I would say Netflix creates a lot of technically excellent shows. So there's a lot of really good programming in terms of the quality that Netflix is creating. In the same way that we've seen that on cable, I would say Netflix does a lot of things or has created a lot of shows that are actually better than what's being offered on cable, which has contributed in some degrees to its success. That being said, Netflix is now, these things change very quickly now, but Netflix has absolutely upended the landscape in Hollywood. It is a Hollywood establishment, and what that means is that it shares the same cultural agenda. It does absolutely, unequivocally have a culturally liberal agenda. So it's no different than what you might see elsewhere. And in fact, I've written about this a lot. A huge concern is that because the networks are now less powerful, this is something that has really changed late night, for instance. Because the networks, you know, if you're having a good night on a network with your sitcom, you're pulling in, you know, maybe 10 million viewers, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. That pales in comparison to the old days when, you know, American Idol was pulling in double that just, you know, 10, 15 years ago. And then you can go even further back when the networks had to appeal to a broad base of consumers. So the shows were a little bit cleaner. The shows were a little bit more uniting instead of unifying, instead of divisive. We don't have it anymore because we're all clustering in niches. And Netflix is really the place where that is happening, because what they need is to develop shows that work really well with a smaller audience. And so that means there are, you know, a lot of shows out there that are going to play to that culturally liberal agenda because they don't have to appeal to conservative fans because they just won't tune into those. And Netflix is able to get away with that. So the way that TV is created right now is actually enabling the culturally liberal agendas of Hollywood establishments. And because Netflix is one of those establishments now, they are no different from it. And because of their business model, they benefit from it and they rely on that.
Would you call this anti-Christian bias, or would you call it simply the assumption corporately and in terms of the programming they produce, the assumption of a liberal or progressive worldview and agenda?
I think that that is perfectly stated. The second option that you just laid out is perfectly stated. It is the assumption of a culturally progressive worldview, or the assumption that the culturally progressive worldview is the one that must be reinforced through their art, through their programming. And so I don't necessarily know that it's, you know, it's subtly anti-Christian, of course, and Christians around this country are very, very used to that in programming. You know, you take a show like Modern Family, which is a great example. It's actually a show that's very funny and very well made. It reinforces a lot of norms that Christians, of course, don't agree with and that are outside the faith. So when you take something like that, I wouldn't call the show necessarily anti-Christian, because it's not as though people are going on these explicit anti-Christian diatribes in every episode, but it's exactly how you just said. It's the assumption of a progressive, culturally progressive worldview, or the assumption that their duty is to reinforce the culturally progressive worldview. And I think Netflix absolutely shares that.
Netflix is still struggling, since it's a subscription service, to incorporate advertising, and advertisers are beating down their doors to get there, because these are people who pay to watch their content. And so they already have people who are willing to sit through an ad if it's embedded in the stream. But because Netflix is less dependent on advertising at this point and more dependent on subscriber money, does that mean Netflix is kind of showing us what the networks would do if they didn't have to keep advertisers happy?
Yeah, advertisers, and I think that's important, and it's something that I don't even think about often enough, is the influence of advertisers. And also, if they didn't have to keep wide viewerships happy, and that is to say, you know, if you need to have a sitcom on at 7 p.m. or 8 p.m. on a Thursday, on Netflix, you don't have those constraints, and that certainly goes into exactly what you're talking about when it comes to advertisers. So advertisers want a show that's going to be able to rope in, you know, 5 million people these days on a Thursday night. Well, Netflix doesn't have to play by those rules, because they might need a show that's just regularly watched by 600,000 people and isn't necessarily, you know, reliant on building these wide audiences and doesn't have to be so appealing to that wider swath of the public, and so they can concentrate on these niches. And again, you know, it's just like you said before, Netflix as a Hollywood establishment doesn't really understand the rest of the country, as we know has been a problem in Hollywood for decades. And so they don't necessarily understand the type of programming that people want. I'm sure they do a lot of studying of it, but certainly it hasn't been, it hasn't had an impact on their desire, I would say, to disseminate their culturally progressive worldview, because I think to some degree they also believe that they have a duty to spread those values and to use their work to spread those values. And so it's all of these different factors that give Netflix an ability to mirror all of these trends and culturally liberal trends that Hollywood has held fast to for decades now, and then in some respects to make them even worse or to accelerate the, you know, march towards full progressivism in our cultural institutions.
Finally, then, what can Christian consumers of Netflix do when they encounter, especially in Netflix's original programming, what they perceive as either an assumption of a progressive worldview or out and out anti-Christian bias?
I love that question, because I think Netflix, to your last question about advertisers, Netflix needs subscribers, and they're competing with a lot of other platforms for subscribers. And because, as I just mentioned, and we all know, people in Hollywood don't necessarily understand what offends regular viewers, you know, who may be living in Wisconsin, like where I grew up, they don't necessarily understand what works there, or they don't understand what doesn't work there. Some of them may not care about it, but Netflix as a business that is competing in this very competitive new streaming marketplace certainly does. My first instinct to that question is, let us know. Let you guys know, let your show know. Let us know at the Federalist. Send us an email and we'll get someone on it, because part of the challenge these days is that with all of these new things on top of those remaining cable channels and the networks, now we have Netflix creating their own TV shows. We have Hulu creating their own TV shows. We have YouTube TV shows. There's just such an incredible glut of content out there that it's really hard to keep track of. And so if you come across anything that, you know, seems something about, like, something that people should be concerned about, that Christian parents should be concerned about, that Christians should be concerned about more broadly, tweet it at Netflix or let us know, and we'll get in there and we'll take a look, and we'll try to call attention to it in whatever way that we can. Like I said, there's just so much content out there these days that it's hard to keep track of. And so a community approach to that is, you know, nothing but helpful. But, you know, taking your concerns directly to Netflix, tweeting at them, sending them emails, I actually don't think is futile, because I think to some extent they don't understand what works and what doesn't. And I think that they're competing. They're in a very bitter competition right now with their streaming rivals, and this stuff really matters to them.
Emily Jashinsky is culture editor of The Federalist. You can read her columns at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Emily, thanks.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break, part two of our review of the movie Avengers Endgame with your questions and your comments for Pastor Ted Geese. Talk back at issuesetc.org, our Twitter address at issuesetc, or leave your comments or questions at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc.
I believe in the Holy Spirit. Christians confess these words each week during the divine service. But have you ever wondered, who is the Holy Spirit? Join Curtis Giese, Jeffrey Oswald, Charles Geeshan, and others in the May issue of the Lutheran Witness as they consider the person and work of the Holy Spirit. Special highlights include a Bible study by Matt Richard and an original Pentecost hymn text by Mark Preuss. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Yes, there is a Messiah in Seattle. Messiah Lutheran Church and Concordia Lutheran School have served North Seattle for over 60 years, and we invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 8 and 10:45 with Bible study at 9:20. Messiah Seattle is proud to support Issues, etc. To learn more, watch our adult information class videos online or on DVD. Our website is messiahseattle.org, 206-524-0024.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. thecleaningauthority.com.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books. 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us, E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, press.us.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Prince of Peace Lutheran, San Diego, California. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Muncie, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, State Center, Iowa. St. Paul Lutheran, Unionville, Michigan. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. Luther Memorial Chapel, Shorewood, Wisconsin. Zion Lutheran, Castle Rock, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Catalina Lutheran, Tucson, Arizona. And Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.